This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. Hey guys, Mike here. Just very quickly before this episode starts, I wanted to say that I have had the craziest day today. It is like 10 p.m. the day before this podcast is supposed to go out, and I am absolutely scrambling. It has been a crazy day. I'm going to talk about it on my other podcast, 20th Century Boy. So if you want to hear about that and more personal stuff, check out that podcast. But I also wanted to say that because I've been really time poor, I actually totally forgot to do the Alpo segment on this week's episode. I just totally forgot to. And to make up for that, on Friday, I'm going to just do a short bonus episode that's just all the mail, basically the mail and emails and Alpos that have come in this week. So apologies that it's not in this episode. I've been scrambling heaps. It's just been a really frantic week and few days. So please bear with me. This is a great episode. Tom and Ollie from the Hit Network are guests on this episode, and it was so much fun sitting down with them. So I hope you enjoy it. Take care. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys.
Goblets of Fire, and welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a fan fiction Harry Potter podcast by me, Radio Mike. Oh my God, look. Where we are, Tom and Ollie.
Yes, hello,
in
Mike.
The Fox FM studios. This is a privilege.
It's special.
Yeah, it's good.
It is really special. Good. And to be talking about Harry Potter, Mike,
you've never looked less interested in anything in your life, Tom.
I'm just annoyed because Ollie and I have both worn white t-shirts to this podcast recording, and you also have a white t-shirt on, Mike. So that's going really well.
But you love matching, Tom. So you'd be loving this.
I do love matching. But I'm annoyed I didn't wear my cloak for this.
Invisibility or standard?
Would have preferred to wear an invisibility cloak, to be honest.
Not worthy. James didn't give it to you.
No, he definitely didn't. We are big Harry Potter fans.
You are clearly showing you're big Harry Potter fans. So obviously Tom and Ollie, Fox FM, night show.
Yes.
Across the Hit Network.
National show. Yes. And for international listeners, on the Listener app, I assume.
On the Listener app, it's the best place to get your news, your music, and your podcasts. Yep. And your live radio.
And your Tom and Ollie.
And your Tom and Ollie.
You know, often we say Tom and Ollie, occasionally we say Lee Jordan, you know, because Lee Jordan was obviously a great broadcaster in HP novels.
Was he a broadcaster though? Or like,
yeah, he was a commentator.
Was that commentating going to air anywhere?
No, but didn't he buy book seven? Wasn't he doing an underground radio show to Potter News?
And that is why Tom and Ollie are on this podcast today. Yeah. Because I forgot that.
Yeah, you did.
I forgot that.
What was it called?
Underground News.
It was Lightning Radio.
It was like Potter Watch.
Was it Potter Watch?
I think it was.
Someone's going to correct us.
I love that.
But I guess since we're already on it, do you guys want to talk individually or collectively, depending on you know, whether you watch the movies together? What's your experience with
movies?
HP?
Oh, come on, please. I first discovered it when my grandma bought me books 1 through 4. Wow. I was 10 years old, so it would have been the year 2000. Bought books 1 through 4, ended up reading them alongside my mother, and we both became fans, and we'll line up for the books for the rest of the time. Yeah. When did you first discover it, Ollie?
Yeah, well, probably about the same time, about 10 years old.
Don't steal his story.
But I read book 3 first.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Because you were just like, whatever,
nah, give
one
me that.
And two.
It was primary school.
Give
and
it, that serious it, black.
It was whatever I was in the library at school. So I read that, and then... But I remember, you know, buying book 4 when it came out, which must have been, you know, 2002 or something.
So can I also ask you, because what made it good for me, Ollie, was that I was the same age as Harry reading it. So we grew up with Harry and at the same age as Harry.
Yeah, well, that's probably a bonus. I don't think you need that to really enjoy it. For example, Mike, my partner, Sarah, she's such a fan.
She's a huge fan.
That she now... you could actually get her on.
She's a good talker.
She can't get to sleep without Harry Potter audiobook being read to her by Stephen Fry. And so what she does is, you know, this is the last few years is this developed. But she obviously read the books like everyone else a couple of times at least. But in the last few years has gone through 1 to 7 audiobook and then just starts again, immediately starts again.
Wow. She's not trying the Jim Dale audiobooks, which I believe was the American.
Oh, is there a different reader?
Yeah.
What a shame.
No, she loves Stephen Fry and he does a great job with the voices and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, he does. They were really good.
So I hear it annoyingly lying in bed. I'll have dreams of Harry Potter because it's in the background. And I'm like, Sarah, put some headphones on. I'm sick of hearing book. We just finished book 7. Now back at book 1 again.
How many times have you read the books, Ollie? I think I've done the series.
About 4, probably.
Yeah, I think about 4 for
probably
me.
About 4 all up.
Yeah.
Hardcore fans. I love it.
How many times have you read it?
Probably 5 or 6. Yeah.
Oh, one more than us. Well done.
Okay. Actually, let me think. 7. Yeah. I've read it 7 times.
I think I was 8. I'm not sure. And I assume you've seen the movies, but there was a roll of the eyes when movies were mentioned, Tom.
Well, because I hate it. I hate it when people go, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Harry Potter. The films. It's like, no.
Like your boyfriend watching the movies recently.
Yeah, my boyfriend Seth, he's only seen the films.
Gotcha.
He's up to book 2 and he's been on book 2 for the past year and a half.
Reading?
Yeah, I don't think he really reads it that much.
Oh, no.
So poor Seth.
Yeah. Oh, man, they're so good. They're so good.
Okay, favourite film and favourite book is the next question we go to.
Couldn't really talk about the films. Like, I haven't...
I could.
I've just probably seen them once. But the favourite book is a great question.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
It's the same for both book and film. Number 3.
You're a prisoner boy.
Yeah, I'm a prisoner of Azkaban. Love it. I'm a prisoner boy.
You're a prisoner boy too?
You're an Azzy boy.
I really think that is just, that's the catalyst.
Yeah, right?
Book 3 is just the beginning of the end. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like book 1 and 2, sure.
Yeah.
It's playtime. Book 3, we're getting serious and we get serious. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I love that.
I think I find it hard to pick a favourite.
Yeah.
Because they're all...
Oh,
just because they're all different. I mean, I think we all agree that book 5 is the worst. I mean, that's been categorically
it's
panned.
Very long.
Too fat. You know, she could have cut a lot out of book 5. It's the longest. And for what reason? What, to see Harry being moody for the whole year?
Hating, he's very moody.
Hating everyone? What, and yet book 7 is covering off such immense important detail. And yes, indeed, it's 200 pages less than book 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could cut some out of book 5. I just think, you know, 6 and 7 deliver on so much weaved story from early on that, you know, nothing is wasted. No time is wasted.
I think the final chapters of 7 take like a couple of reads to understand.
Big time.
Was that for you as
like
well,
when
Mike?
Are you talking about the thing where you find out about Snape and his whole
the number of the Horcruxes how that's being
works.
Ticked off,
and of course Goyle dying in the Room of Requirement.
It's one of the
bigger and sadder deaths.
Yeah.
That was very sad.
Wasn't there something that when Sarah reread it recently, she only just understood one element of the story in book 7? It was, it was something to do with Dumbledore's Lily's love or something?
Something about Mike, I don't know if she was saying that Harry sacrificing himself when he goes to Voldemort and says, I'll take me, you know, I surrender myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Harry then puts on a spell, the same spell that his mother had put on him, protecting everyone else.
Is that said by J.K. Rowling?
It's not explicit, but Sarah seemed to think it was implied, and she read it to me, and I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Or maybe the same spell is put on people he loves, which is everyone. Yeah, so I think that was the theory, that it's like... You know, it's super, well, how does that work? But you know,
there's
a lot of
love that protects him.
There's a lot of layers.
Voldemort's Avada Kedavra.
Have you guys ever thought, I think I mentioned it in a different app, but you know how like the whole thing is Harry's mum sacrificed herself and the love is what protected Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one's ever seen this magic before. No one in the history of magic has ever laid their life down. Like, it must have happened.
I suppose it was the intricate details of her love and her sacrifice at that time.
Exact time.
But then to have the killing curse happen, which is a rarity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of stars had to align. Yeah, the splitting. But I have thought that. It's like, how is he the only person who's ever been sacrificed for? Or
maybe that's why why it's a lightning bolt, Scott. Because it's like, it was like he was struck by lightning, which is a really rare occurrence. Okay. So that's my
Mr. Fanfiction is coming out here.
And finally, house. I usually predict. I'm thinking both very Gryffindor here.
Yeah, well, we've had a discussion.
I'm definitely in Gryffindor, and I don't understand why anyone would choose not to be in Gryffindor, to be honest.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Okay, interesting.
A proud Ravenclaw?
Exceptionally proud.
Exceptionally proud. How is the tower? Are you enjoying it up there?
It's great. Don't the Ravenclaws have to like solve riddles to get into the into their common room where the Gryffindors just have a fun? Yeah.
I went to Spotlight recently, and there was like all the costumes were there lined up: Gryffindor, Slytherin, Hufflepuff was empty of stock. And I was like, who the hell's buying a Hufflepuff outfit?
So many people are in Hufflepuff and it's embarrassing.
But it is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Close to the heroes, though, which is the best part. It's close to the kitchens.
But all the heroes are in Gryffindor, aren't they? There's not really any heroes in Hufflepuff.
Justin Finch-Fletchley. He comes up a bit. Who's that? Someone once said Justin Finch-Fletchley to me and I was like, I guess.
I don't recall him. I don't recall him.
What house was Cedric in?
Cedric was in Hufflepuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're a Gryffindor then, Tom?
I definitely.
You'd say you're brave, would you?
You guys have a very Fred and George kind of feel, though.
Yeah. Fred and George.
Oh, come on. It's just because we're wearing white T-shirts, mate.
Just clowns who are going to, you know, flunk out of school early and start a joke shop. I mean,
I could have been in Hufflepuff close to the kitchens.
Yeah. You're not a Hufflepuff, Tom. You're too cool.
If you're in Ravenclaw, when everyone reads the book, everyone imagines that they're Harry Potter, don't they?
Yeah.
I was picturing myself as Justin Finch.
Bit of a short-lived moment for you then. Yeah. I mean, not a lot of time.
No, not a much screen time.
Rereading the book, so as an older person, Harry is such a dick.
Yeah,
have we all come to agree
I've
about this?
I've heard that.
I really don't like him when I was reading this book as an adult. I was much preferred of like Hermione.
Why is he a dick though? I disagree.
And Ron was like moody, but he becomes good. But Harry is a dick.
Why is he a dick though?
He's traumatized. I think it's just trauma.
I think it's the fame and the trauma.
Yeah, like if you were at school knowing,
he's a bit of an anti-hero.
He carried no,
until,
he's not.
Until
Snape's
seven,
an anti-hero,
I
reckon.
Yeah, well, of course Snape is.
I don't think he's. I think he's a.
I just think he's a bit of a dick. Reread it. I reckon you'll come to the same conclusion.
He's aware.
He's a bit of a dick.
He's aware that a lot of stuff rests on him, and carries that burden.
Number five, he's a catty. He's very catty.
Yeah, yeah, but he's 15. So that's perfect, isn't it? Like he's a teenager.
Makes sense,
yeah.
I know.
But he's like, oh, girl, I want a girlfriend. You know, Miss, where's Cho Chang?
Why won't Cho like me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We should dive into the fanfic.
Yeah, let's do the fanfiction.
I was saying to you guys before we started rolling, we're actually pretty far into the fanfic now, and I just have a feeling this chapter, because everyone reads a chapter.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think you guys are going to have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to try and fill you in very quickly.
So what's this book called?
Harry Potter and the Boys.
Harry Potter and the Boys.
We're up to chapter 16.
How old were you when you wrote this?
I was in year 7 at school.
Oh, wow.
So it's 12 or 13 years old.
How many pages is it?
It's nearly 200 pages.
Oh, my God.
Although I'm looking here of size 18 font.
Yeah, it's a very large font size.
SA trick.
Bringing the margins a bit.
Basically, where we're at is the boys, two of the boys, Michael and Rob. Michael's named after this guy.
Who's Rob named after?
I don't know, some other guy.
Okay.
And they have interrupted a staff dance party in the Great Hall, which was for staff only. Students were not allowed to go. And one professor was murdered by a mysterious cloaked figure.
Oh,
there is a
brilliant.
Mean potions teacher called Mr. Charger, and he seems to be involved with what we know as the dark farts, which is he can seems to be able to shoot evil spells out of his asshole.
Captain Underpants, it was crossover.
I was reading a lot of Captain Underpants for this. And Mr. Charger seems to be the villain of the story. There's some weird stuff going on. It seems like the boys have been apprehended by Hermione Granger, who is now a professor at the school. Oh. And this is where we pick up in chapter 16. I wonder if we read if you guys do a page each or something, or however you want.
Yeah, sure. So you've taken some characters.
Yeah, there are a lot of Gryffindors from the original.
Right.
And now Harry is the headmaster of Hogwarts.
Right.
Ron is a professor. A lot of legacy characters, but lots of new characters as well.
A lot of legacy characters.
We're 50 years out from Deathly Hallows, so a lot's changed.
Wow.
Yeah. And I assume anything from The Cursed Child is non-canon in this, simply because it wasn't, it didn't exist when I wrote this book. So Ollie's going to take us off.
Right,
and usually, like, as much as you want to interject and critique the author, feel free to do so.
We'll
usually start by reading the title of the chapter. Ollie Morris, take it away.
Chapter 16, Hermione's Memories. The next morning, the boys woke up early. Now, can I just ask, you know, how, you know, in Harry Potter, there's all this information that's threaded about early on. And so everything is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's the same in your book? Everything's there for a reason?
So a lot of people have brought this up that have been guests. Like, a lot of stuff just seems to be mentioned that is never mentioned again. Yeah, okay, and it's just so random. So I assume it all comes to a head at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll have to assume. Yeah.
You assume so.
You assume that you're an excellent author in Year 7.
Yes. But we have established it's certainly not the most groundbreaking writing.
All right.
It started off good.
The next morning, the boys woke up early. They went down into the common room to meet Professor Granger, the Transfiguration teacher.
Okay.
Pretty good so far.
Rob Robson and Michael Carmichael, follow me to my office now, she said. Rob and Michael followed, but said nothing. That's a very J.K. Rowling sentence.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, wow. But said nothing. That's what she would say.
Yeah.
Don't talk, listen.
Now that's already funny, if I do say so myself, because specifically says that they said nothing, and then her mind is like, don't talk, listen.
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is. Deliberate, I'm sure. Don't talk, listen. I seem to recall seeing you at the no students party for teachers only last night. A lot of extra words there, but
it was the no students party for
By
teachers
way,
only.
By the way, Ollie has done a degree in teaching and
English language.
So you've got
you can really unpack.
That's
this.
A tautology what you've done there. No students party for teachers only. Yeah, last night. mumbled Michael. Fine then, expel us, said Rob. Have very different personas here. Michael, you're a bit of a dweeb, but Rob's full of sass.
Can I say that a lot of chapters in this book, there are students just dropping dead, being murdered, ruthlessly being killed by forces beyond their control. It totally makes sense to me that one of the boys in this book is just happy to be expelled at that stage.
Rob, Cavalier Rob. Rob Robson, of course. I seem to recall that on your first day, I clearly read out that students seen there will not be expelled.
Wow.
Okay, so she's saying that, you know, I'm angry that you've gone there, but I never said, in fact, I did say you wouldn't be expelled for doing it.
Almost like she was encouraging the students to do it.
Yes. Very interesting.
I'm sure. That actually is interesting because I reckon if we do go back to that chapter where she said it,
she would say that they wouldn't
be expelled.
Why would a teacher inform someone that they won't be expelled for breaking a rule? Like, why would you ever do that?
I reckon it was intentional.
It's intentional. All right.
Should we pass on to Tom? You guys pass on whenever you feel ready to...
I'm enjoying the story.
I'll continue this scene.
Yeah, cool. Lots of scenes in this.
Oh, said Rob. Thanks, said Michael.
Not expelled, the classic reaction.
Good. Oh, thanks.
It's hard to read, Michael. I will say it's hard to read because you expect some kind of natural, you know, rhythm, and then you get a thanks.
Yeah, you expect, like, thank God we were so worried we were going to be expelled. That's it.
Oh, thanks. I seem to recall that when you walked in the door, I told you to listen, not to talk. Capital letters and
God,
listen.
Come on, mate.
She's got them there. Fading them into talking
Hermione,
and then telling them. Yeah.
I like this from Rob. Why do you keep saying, I seem to recall, asked Rob. That's good. Rob's the sassy one, isn't he?
And she has said, I seem to recall every time.
You've stitched her up with a social crutch, a verbal crutch, and then Rob's called her out on it.
I seem to recall.
That's good. You never said, Michael was cut off. I seem to recall that I need to show you something that is very important. You're taking the piss now, mate. With I seem to recall.
I seem to recall. You've got to do voices for the characters. Yeah.
But you don't know who you're reading until you've got there. So, but
I think it seemed to recall is always.
I should have known.
I seem to recall that I need to show you something.
I feel like you're writing sketch comedy here more than anything. It's an Auntie Donna sketch. Yeah. I seem to recall that I need to show you something that is very important. She said.
Oh God.
Jump into my pensive.
Wow.
Oh,
all
Jesus.
Right, Tom. You can do the.
So she's
got a pensive straight from book six.
The boys looked in the corner of the room and saw the pensive.
Well.
I'm not going to bother describing it because there are descriptions in Harry Potter 4, 5, 6, 7.
So, a classic tactic that J.K. Rowling never used in her book. Hey, guys. So, Harry got into the pensive. I talked about it in the last book. So.
You should put a footnote in there.
Yeah.
Refer to the original books.
Now, in this memory, I want you to follow the man with long grey hair and find as many clues as possible, she said. Clues for what? Asked Michael.
Michael's obviously come from Australia. He's an Australian Michael. Clues for what? Asked Michael. But she didn't reply.
Does it actually say she didn't reply?
It says she didn't reply.
Classic channeling your inner Dumbledore here. Set a bunch of kids on a mission with no guidance.
They jumped into the pensive and fell into what looked like the Great Hall. Hermione was standing up the front of the Great Hall looking at everyone. Then they looked to the right of Hermione and saw the grey-haired man.
No longer Hermione, now Miss Granger.
Yeah.
But is it a young Hermione? How far back have we gone?
We don't know. But like, as I guess we should explain the pensive for listeners who aren't familiar. Now, you can go to books 4, 5, 6, and 7. But...
And rifle through the pages.
But it is, you jump into it and you can relive people's memories.
Yeah. So a silver slither withdrawn from the head.
Key plot point in, as we said, books 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Then they looked to the right of Hermione and saw the grey-haired man that they had seen talking with Mr. Charger on page 50.
You can't refer back to the pages, Michael. What is this?
Except he now had blonde hair and looked much, much younger.
Okay. So are we getting Malfoy vibes from that? Like blonde hair?
Okay. Oh, you'd assume.
I mean, I don't expect you guys to have any informed idea of what the fuck is going on.
Do you remember, have you read this recently enough that you know what's going on?
No, I only read this just before we started recording, just to check in.
Just to make sure it was worth it? And you thought it was worth it?
I'm sorry, guys.
You've cleared it. Now you've cleared it.
The younger version of the grey-haired man looked around suspiciously, occasionally looking at his watch.
Oh,
when he quickly
it's a
Rolex or
what is... when he quickly began to walk out of the room. Doesn't make sense.
There's an editor.
The boys followed. He walked past all the students and none of them seemed to care. Was he a teacher? What was he doing at Hogwarts?
Now this guy has appeared previously in the book as the grey-haired man talking to Mr. Charger, the dark farts guy who shoots green light out of his asshole.
Okay. So Charger's a teacher?
Charger's the potions teacher. And this guy is a mysterious man.
Oh, okay.
I actually believe last time we saw him, he was talking to Professor Granger, holding something and saying, I'm going to sue the school. So I don't know.
Okay.
And you expect there's some kind of magical attorney or lawyer.
Then they saw that he had a Slytherin sign on his robes. He was a
classic
student.
Classic potions. No,
he was a student.
He was a student.
When he exited the room, he went down to the dungeons. This must be where the Slytherin common room is, Michael said.
And we
troll.
That's not a bad line for you as a writer to have that line, because that's the characters learning stuff that you know and we all know.
Yeah,
but you're showing where they're at. I am impressed by that.
Yeah, they are first years after all.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah.
Troll. The younger version of the grey-haired man said to a wall, but the wall began to shift aside.
Is troll like the password?
Yeah,
troll
must be the password.
Interesting.
He walked into this...
Not like Ravenclaw, who just so riddled.
No. Or Hufflepuff, who just eats to get into their common room.
Do they actually?
No, I don't know.
They tickle the fruit. They tickle the pear.
That's right.
Do they?
Tickle the pear.
Very sexual, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, tickle the pears.
Depends how you want to look at it.
There's a portrait of a fruit bowl and you tickle the pear to get into the room.
So we've got a password in Gryffindor. They just tickle fruit all the time. That's not hard to get in, is it?
Maybe it's different fruit.
Change the fruit. Well, you just tickle them all, wouldn't you?
if you knew the secret,
tickle. But it takes a while though. It takes a half an hour.
It definitely wasn't the Slytherin common room. It was simply one big rectangular room with a few couches that had obviously been stolen. And in the middle of the room, a giant something.
Oh, a very apt description.
Sounds like a room of requirement almost, doesn't
it? Could be the room of requirement, but was that in the dungeons? Unless it's moved.
No, the room of requirement is up on
level five or seven or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So it could be the room of...
But it hasn't moved.
The room of new requirement, possibly.
It didn't look like anything the boys had ever seen. It was about 10 metres high and at the top of it, a star. There were two holes in the wall of this room, one on the left, one on the right, and directly opposite them, a door. The younger version of the grey-haired man looked at his watch again and started mumbling things like, where is he? And he said 8 o'clock.
The younger version of the grey-haired man, are we assuming that's Dumbledore, the grey-haired man?
No, we don't know. He's been talking to Mr.
Yeah, he was the one that was going to sue the school. That's the younger
version. We don't know.
But
who
now
he
he's got blonde hair.
Now he's got blonde hair. Well, not now, in the past, which is now in the context of what we're reading.
Yes.
But also, like, You guys are, this is, you're lucky, like, this is some of the most descriptive writing
That's
this
really
book has
good.
Ever had. Like, this is a surprisingly descriptive
It's a good chapter.
Book.
You're yeah. proud of this one?
Well, I can yeah. see here that you wrote it at 2:24 p.m. So, yeah, you were writing it at 2:24 p.m., which is
wow.
pretty good.
I didn't realize there's a timestamp yeah, of when time this stamp. Page was written.
So, it's in the afternoon. It's not late at night.
Classic mm. writing time.
It's good.
Creak!
The door had opened.
Ooh.
A tall, idiotic-looking 16 or 17-year-old boy walked out of it.
Now, every time Mr. Charger appears, he is described as idiotic.
Okay.
With a D instead of a T.
Ironically, you have spelled idiotic wrong, making yeah. you look a bit idiotic as an author. But
so I'm assuming this is Mr. Charger.
I love idiotic. That. That's such a teenage insult. You look idiotic.
He's such an idiot.
Yeah. So the tall, idiotic-looking 16, 17-year-old walked out of it. The boys recognized him at once. Mr. Charger. It's in italics. What does that mean? I don't know. What is that?
I think it's like Mr. Charger.
Mr. No full stop. It could be a heading. It could be anything. Mr. Charger. Is it ready yet? Said the younger version of the grey-haired man.
Is it ready yet?
One more. Mr. Charger struggled to say. He was bleeding heavily from his chest and Jesus. Legs.
Oh, my God.
Surprisingly, not his bum.
So it's more of a...
All the spells he's shooting out.
He had a fissure. Yeah. So it's more of a one more.
Yeah,
he was struggling.
He's weak.
That's good. That's good.
Don't push your luck, Winston, said the younger version Winston. Of the grey-haired man.
Oh, so Mr. Charger's first name is Winston.
Winston Charger.
Winston Charger.
Almost Winston Churchill.
Definitely yeah. not intentional.
Yeah, no.
I honestly still don't really know who that is. So you're president?
Yeah, ex-Prime Minister of England.
Oh.
Come on, mate, watch the crown. I am not lying.
Who's Winston Churchill?
What was that, Mr. Charger said. I am not lying. What a...
Wait, why does he say,
I don't know.
Oh, right, because he says, one more, don't push your luck, I am not lying.
I'm not lying. What was that?
Oh.
Mr. Charger said. He was definitely not trying to get out of whatever mess he was already in because the boys had also heard a noise.
Wow.
Wow. It's all over the shop here, Mike.
Yeah. We're off the rails again.
Yeah, you had some good writing.
What time is it now? We'll check the time at the bottom.
Oh, it's 2 a.m. this time. That makes sense. No, what was that noise, Boris? Said Mr. Charger.
The grey-haired man's name is Boris.
Boris. Okay.
Wow.
I love Boris as a character name. I feel like as a child I was like a lot of Boris in mine.
Really?
So it's Winston
yeah.
Charger.
Yeah, Boris is a great character name.
And Boris the grey-haired man.
Okay.
Wow. So it's not Dumbledore, otherwise it'd be Albus.
Yeah.
It was simply my wand, said the younger version of the grey-haired man, whose name was probably Boris.
Well, there's two people there. We know one of them's Winston.
But the narrator's not sure.
Yeah, why are you, as the author, not sure whether that young boy...
I guess that was Boris. I don't know who else he could be talking
God.
To.
It was simply my wand.
It was simply my wand. It was simply my wand.
Instead of saying, yeah, said Boris, yeah. said the younger version of the grey-haired man, his name was probably Boris.
Boris.
We can't be sure, so we will still refer to him as this.
If you haven't noticed, I have you in the leg lock.
Oh,
awesome. We hadn't noticed because you hadn't described that. Oh, but that's not a physical leg lock. That's a spell, I'm
I
guessing.
I think it's a spell.
The leg lock
curse. Locomotor mortis,
yeah.
I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Impedimentus
or something like,
yeah, yes, something
that,
like
sort.
That.
Chest and obviously chest and leg. He's bleeding heavily. Remember that?
Yeah, okay. Right.
I'm telling you, Boris, we need one more, Mr. Charger said, clearly in pain.
And can we say, I think we're all on the same page here. Something sinister's going. Like, are we all on that page? Like,
there's some tension. There's some conflict.
I'm so annoyed at your writing, though, that it's like, it's such a classic young person writing move of like, there's something mysterious that I don't want to tell you about.
Yeah,
but that's... I'm also not really sure about what that is. And we're going to all find out together as I write it.
That's the whole book.
There's something we're not sure about, but because of the writing, there's a lot we're unsure about.
Yeah. So, yeah, I all just right. wanted to check. None of us think there's something innocent schoolboy
no,
stuff.
No,
like
no.
There's something.
Sounds...
There is. Yeah. And yeah. further complicating it is in this scene, there are not just real life. There's memory characters. Characters and
yes.
there's real life characters.
Yes. So and there's someone probably named Boris.
Yeah. We assume. We can't be sure.
I think
though.
In the Harry Potter books,
I don't want to commit
the
that.
Pensive scenes are very clear in, you know, we're witnessing an important moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, we're witnessing maybe an important moment, but it's not clear.
Yeah, and also...
We're witnessing a very mysterious grey moment.
Yeah. And also, Hermione... This is the chapter is called Hermione's Memories.
Yeah.
She was in the start of the memory. She's not in this part.
Oh, yeah.
How does she remember it?
How does she remember it?
Yeah.
If maybe it's her memory... Yeah, is she even in the scene?
Maybe she's the noise. She's oh, no, it was simply his wand.
All right, I'll read on.
We could find out, though, in a work of genius.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Boris, we need one more, okay. Mr. Charger said, clearly in pain. No! No, I've killed enough mudbloods.
Sorry, I just wanted to make that.
Mudbloods.
Thank you, but that's true. Use it now. So he's saying we need another mudblood.
We can't be sure.
But I'm feeling some kind of book four sacrifice.
No, I've killed enough
sacrifice.
Mudbloods. Use it now.
Some kind of mudblood sacrifice.
Use it now. Please keep going. I'm actually
Boris.
Intrigued.
Thank you.
Boris, use it now, Boris said as he ran up to the tall structure in the middle of the room and pressed a red button.
Is that the tall something?
Tall something.
So
it's a structure.
It's very red sort of clown-like or sort of, you know, musical theatre.
Xbox
big red button.
360, maybe.
Yeah, it's a gadget.
You don't...
There's many buttons in Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's the wooden.
It's all mechanical. There's no real button triggers to things.
Yeah. Technology isn't really a thing, is
it? Yeah. So, you don't need it when you're magic.
No. So Boris
technology
has...
is real life magic.
Yeah,
exactly. That's where I'm at.
Boris has run up and pressed the red button on this tall red structure.
Okay.
The star at the top of the structure glowed a violent red.
Oh, my God.
It's
unusual color for a star.
Yeah.
It's a great... star-shaped beam emerged. So, syntax errors. A great star-shaped beam emerged from the top of the building.
Wow.
No, said Mr. Charger, now crying. All my work ruined! No!
So,
what?
It seems as though for whatever they're doing to work properly, they needed to kill one more mudblood, but they have triggered this off early, and now apparently all the work is ruined. We know no more than that, but that's me trying to justify it.
It's starting to remind me of the TV show Dark on Netflix, which is very complicated and hard
Dark
to follow,
too,
which involves a machine that also is broken and trying to get working.
But that's by actual writers.
We can't be sure of that.
In a different language.
Quite possibly.
That makes more sense in German.
Probably by actual
One
writers.
Of them may be called Boris, we don't know.
Okay.
All right, back to Tom.
Mr. Charger raised his wand at Boris after the beam had hit something that was well out of sight.
Can I just interrupt, Tom?
On.
You make this book sound way better than it is with the way you read it. Like you, we need you for the audio.
Yeah, more than happy to.
He's more of a Stephen Fry than I am, I guess.
Avada Expelliarmus!
Oh,
two people had walked into this room. Mr. Charger's wand was knocked out of his hand.
Oh my God.
It was Harry Potter and Ron Weasley.
Oh, the headmaster.
Now, that's a moment you'd use in the trailer for the movie to get people in.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
Here's another probably. They were probably in their late 40s about now.
Probably. Mr. Charger began to speak in a language that the boys knew was parcel tongue. You could just say that Mr. Charger began to speak in parcel tongue.
If they're in their late 40s, that means that Hermione is also in her late 40s. So this memory is, what, a recent memory?
Well, because in Death... Wait, in Deathly Hallows, they were 17, 18?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess this is... The present day of this book is 50 years after that.
Okay.
So they would be... Yeah,
but they're the same age.
They'd be about 67.
Yeah.
So Hermione's going, check
this
out.
20 years ago?
From 5 years ago.
So this is about 20 years ago.
20 years ago, yeah. Okay.
So Mr. Charger began to speak in parcel tongue. At that moment, two basilisks...
Mr. Charger is clearly just a Snape ripper.
Snape was a good guy. Mr. Charger's so mean.
You just transposed everything about Snape and potions onto Mr. Charger and added a farting element, haven't you? That's what you've done.
We'll find out.
And when was this written? What year was it written?
2007.
Okay, so book 7 hadn't come out yet, right?
No, I think book 7 was out by the time this was written.
Okay.
Yeah, it came out in 08.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was in year 12, so I was
At that moment, two basilisks came out of the two holes in the wall.
You've upped the ante, haven't you, from book 2?
two basilisks. More.
The beam that had been shot out of the tall structure had returned. Now it held a baby.
What?
Okay. This scene would be better off to be played in real life. Why put it in a memory?
I don't know. But can I say that there is a character in this book who is a recurring character that never says much, who
Justin Finch Filcher?
No.
Justin Finch Fletchley.
Fletchley. No. But I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up. No.
You need a charger. I'm just going to get your charger.
Oh, on my laptop? Yeah. Oh, all right. We'll take a two-minute recess, guys.
There's just so much energy being drawn from the laptop right now.
Sorry, guys. We just took a two-minute recess. We are
okay,
back.
We are plugged in. Okay.
We have recovered.
So, all right. They were probably they were in the late 40s. Harry and Ron are there. They've expelliarmus after somebody was about to kill someone. And then Mr. Charger spoke some parcel tongue. Two basilisks came out. And then the beam that had shot out of the tall structure had returned. Now it held a baby.
And yeah, I was saying there is a character called Harold, not Justin Finch Fletchley, who recurs in this book. And he is known for his star-shaped birthmark. Now, I will predict that he is this baby. However, I am not sure.
You know what, Mike? This is so classic of young kids writing where you go, that's a great thing in that book. I'm going to do my own version. I did the same thing. I read The Horse and His Boy, which was a C.S. Lewis. Yeah. And then for school in year 8, we had to write our own short story. And I just wrote a story of a boy.
And a horse
going on his own journey through like the same marshland. It's like clearly a ripoff. Like your imagination is only goes so far at that age, doesn't it?
Yeah. Shasta was the name of the boy in that book. Wasn't
well done,
it?
Shasta.
And
yeah.
Was Shasta the horse or the boy? Tom, you'd know.
I haven't read it. I haven't read it.
Those books are great, though.
Great books, yeah.
Now it held a baby. The baby looked at the basilisks.
Oh, no.
At once.
Here we go. Well, the baby's going to save them, is it?
At once, a star-shaped birthmark appeared on the baby's forehead.
Appeared. It appeared.
Michael and Rob knew who this baby was at once. It was Harold. The basilisks slithered over to the baby Harold and bit it. Boris, who still had his wand, aimed it straight at Harry's chest. But instead of killing him, he shouted, "Obliviate!"
Wow, that was...
This was the memory charm.
And now the book, in the present of this book, Harry Potter is just an imbecile who just seems to have no memory or awareness of everything.
A very similar character to in book two.
Professor Lockhart. This may be the origin of that.
Well, this was the memory charm. It caused Harry to lose his memory.
It's a bit of an X-Men Origins kind of... Hogwarts Origins.
Boris moved his wand over to Ron and said, "Obliviate!" But Ron dodged it. "Basilico!" shouted Ron. His wand.
Pasta sauce? Basilico? Basil pesto?
And a spell, clearly.
Yeah. His wand made an extremely high-pitched squealing noise and the basilisks fled.
A good spell.
"Come with me!" Ron yelled. The memory ended.
Oh,
hang on.
Who's he saying to come with him?
Yeah, so what happened? What happened there? So the baby appeared and then a birthmark, which usually happens at birth, appeared on him.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it. It is called a birthmark because you were born with a mark.
Did
the baby do anything?
No.
It looked at the basilisk and got the birthmark.
Yeah.
And then Harry and then the basilisk bit Harold.
The baby. Harold.
The baby.
Baby Harold. You never see a baby Harold.
And then Boris. Boris, who is the grey-haired guy.
Yes.
Has obliviated Harry Potter's memories.
And these are like seventh-year students, we assume, at Hogwarts, I guess.
And then Ron makes the basilisks flee. And then Ron saying, "Come with me," which is like, who is he yelling that to? Because aren't they bad guys? So who is he wanting to come with him?
But maybe saying, "Come with me. I'm going to apprehend you," or "Come with me, I'm going to give you detention."
We didn't give any time.
We don't really know.
Do you want to go now, Ollie, or do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I think we're nearing the end of this one now, I believe.
Well, we've left the memory.
So we were back in Hermione's office.
No longer Hermione's memory.
There you go, we can put that on the side.
Yeah, thank you. All right, but they were back in Hermione's office. Oh, where's this? Oh, yeah, here we go.
Back in Hermione's office.
So, asked Hermione, "Have you figured anything out? Anything in italics?" "No," said Rob.
Which also implies that Hermione
knows all along. Hermione's been known all along.
And one's like, "Just tell us." Like, nah, figure it out. If you didn't figure it out, it's your own fault.
Yeah, she's brutal. She's a real teacher.
Wow.
"No," said Rob. "What are you talking about?" said Michael. Oh, look at you. Hey.
Clever boy.
Everything makes sense now. The basilisk in our dream, it had a star on its head. Don't know who said that.
So the boys have been having weird recurring dreams of a basilisk with a star on its head.
So what, said Rob. Harold, when he was bitten by that basilisk, he must have been cursed. A bit like a werewolf, but a basilisk.
A were-basilisk.
And it also explains why Harry is so, he's so, you know, stupid.
What?
Well, because he was stunned. He was
obliterated. Apparently, he's never recovered.
So, Harry, we're saying Harry is stupid, but he is the headmaster?
He is the headmaster of Hogwarts. And, as we found out in Chapter 2, the head of giving head at Hogwarts.
Is he?
Yeah.
A bit sexual.
Oh, bit sexual. We don't really know much about it. But what
head of giving head?
Whatever that phrase means.
We don't know what that means.
Oh, I think surely it means the head of
Year 7s. We know what you were doing.
It could be something different in the Wizarding World, though.
Mate, you're filthy.
He was writing Harry Potter fan fiction. I don't think it was getting sexual at that stage. I'm pretty sure he's giving the head, as in the heads of, you know, the
okay.
We really don't know. It's open to interpretation.
Which Mike do you want? You know, you choose your own adventure.
Do you want your sexy Mike or do you want nerdy Mike?
Exactly, said Hermione.
Hey, they can be the same. Look, they probably can't.
Fan fiction, bit of fan friction, maybe in the bedroom. All right, exactly, said Hermione. But Professor Granger, what did you want us to look for clues for? Rob asked. And who was the blonde-haired man?
Boris.
That is exactly what I want to know, Mr. Robson.
So Hermione doesn't know.
She's punting them in there as detectives to work it out for her. Didn't bother going.
Just like, we're 11.
Yeah.
Can we just go?
You're a 70-year-old woman. Surely you know. Yeah. You're one of the smartest women ever.
Here we go. You've pulled out some classic J.K. Rowling here with the Hermione characters doing a real Dumbledore here.
Okay.
You see, I have a theory.
Hermione voice.
Okay.
You see, I have a theory. I think that over the course of their years at Hogwarts, Winston Charger, now your potions teacher, and Boris. Oh, what was his last name? Well, anyway, Winston Charger and Boris planned on finishing Lord Voldemort's work. It's a theory.
That's good.
They wanted...
just a theory.
It's just a theory. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We don't even know his name's Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably Boris.
Can't work out a surname. All right. They wanted to kill Harry, and by their 7th year, Boris had killed 9 Muggleborns, but he left no sign of evidence. Just say evidence. But he left no evidence.
Also, how do you kill 9 people with no evidence?
You can in the wizarding world.
If they're excellent wizards.
Obliviate.
So why didn't he kill Harry when he walked in on them? Rob asked. Because Ron Weasley is an extremely powerful wizard.
Justice for Ron.
Said no one ever. Yeah, justice for Ron.
I think Ron's redemption. Very much about Ron being redeemed.
Yeah,
I think that's a long running thing. This book.
Really pushing him up the chain.
You really prefer Samwise Gamgee over Frodo, don't you?
And you are bringing down Harry.
Yeah. Justice for Ron.
You are
I told you, Harry's a dick.
You're Hufflepuff all the way. Because Ron is an extremely powerful wizard. He knew he wouldn't be able to take him down with a simple memory charm. So if he killed Harry, Ron would, use his powers that you could never even imagine to spread the word to every wizard in the world.
Wow.
There's a lot going
on
there.
Can't even imagine that.
They'd be in Azkaban for years.
Can I say that it is still up in the air whether Hermione and Ron are still married in this book? We don't know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, because you didn't know at the time.
Yeah, I need to figure out exactly when this was written, but maybe the last one wasn't out yet.
Okay. I hate to say it, but if your book doesn't acknowledge that Ron and Hermione are married, it's not canon.
Well, they could have gotten divorced.
Yeah, you're hoping for that, are you? To keep your book legitimate. You're hoping to derail one of the greatest love stories in children's literature for you.
Chapter 16, The Bitter Divorce.
Written
Hermione, jump into my pensieve, boys. I want to show you something.
I hate you. Well, I hate you too. Yeah, well, I'm getting a divorce. Memory gone. It's like, wow, that was ugly.
Thanks for showing us that, Hermione. No worries, guys. Now let's head to class.
Very personal. All right. So what happened to Mr. Charger and Boris? Michael asked. Both of those students were expelled. Boris stayed in England, but Richard went to live in Spain. And last year, he applied for a job here. Rings the bell, doesn't it? Yeah. Professor Voldemort coming back for a job.
Professor Voldemort.
I was going to say Snape, but you're right. It was Voldemort.
Voldemort came back, yeah.
Unfortunately, Harry did not remember him as the man that tried to kill him. And these days, Harry doesn't listen to anybody.
So all the teachers must be like, hey, just so you know, this is that guy who tried to kill you when he was at school. And Harry must just be like, no, it wasn't. That was Voldemort. And it's like, no, after that.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm oblivious.
But I love it. You'd obviously felt the need to put Harry as headmaster out of a duty of the Harry character.
Yeah.
But you're also undermining him constantly. And he's also an idiot. So like, why
it's
would he
very
be
clever? I like that.
But I think it's like no one in the wizarding world has the courage to stand up to Harry because they know how important he was.
Yeah.
So Hermione's like, well, I guess Harry's headmaster, but I'm kind of doing all the work.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe. Okay. So, but Harry doesn't listen to anybody. And Boris? Asked Rob. I don't know, boys. You see, Boris was never seen again.
But didn't she say Boris stayed in England for a few years?
Yeah, she did. Boris stayed in England.
Yeah, we used to catch up.
Well, they've forgotten that part of the conversation moments ago. I don't know, boys. You see, Boris was never seen again. But it is said that he is now a Death Eater, one of Voldemort's followers. God. Now, there is one more memory I would like to show you. I hope you understand it more than me.
End of chapter.
Oh my God.
Why would they? Why would they understand it more than her? What do they know? They don't know shit.
They're kids. They know nothing.
It was you, and it's her memory.
Yeah.
Now, you're leaning on the framework that Dumbledore was saying. Hopefully Harry knows more.
Mm.
Look, a lot of leaning going on in your writing.
A lot of leaning. Yeah.
I hope you have a reunion episode at the end of this. Once you get to the end of the book, because
where all the guests come back.
Because I want to know what happens.
Yeah, well, I guess, we can definitely do that.
I'm supposed to listen to it, aren't
I? I mean, that's kind of the point of the podcast is you listen each week and each week you find out what happens in the story.
Will there be a condensed version?
Maybe. But it is kind of good that...
Tom wants a Spark Notes version.
Yeah, you've come in mid-book.
Yeah.
And it still sucked you in, and that's the power of the book.
That is the power of what
how the book gets you.
Not the power of Harry Potter. It's the power of your book. Yes, your book.
Harry Potter and the Boys.
Have you had any? How many? This is chapter 15 or 14.
Yeah.
How many? You've had a guest for each chapter.
Except for two or three, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Has anyone read it and gone, this is shit?
Oh, everyone has. Everyone has. I'm surprised you guys didn't say that more explicitly.
Yeah. Well, I was holding back. No, it's not shit, though. It is good. There is a lot to like about it. For year seven as well.
Name two things.
Oh, it's really
good. Name two things. Well, I already said that. There was that one sentence that showed a great insight into storytelling.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've drawn us in. We're sucked in.
Yeah, cool. I'm sucked in.
Did you ever give it to a teacher at school in English?
Defense Against the Dark Farts. Here you go, miss. I'm a bloody reader.
Defense Against the Dark Farts.
Before we go, do you have any theories based on the one chapter you've read? What do you reckon's going to happen?
Oh wow.
Well, I imagine it's a direct mirror of the actual book, and so the baby will end up growing up to be someone important, and that baby will be the ultimate reason why. Everyone is saved, and they foil the baby foiled the plan of Voldemort slash Boris slash Mr. Charger.
Okay,
that's my thing.
I think I'm with that as well.
Okay, there you go, guys. Yeah. This has been really fun.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Can we plug your stuff? When can people hear you guys?
Yes, plug our show, Tom and Ollie with a Y on Instagram, and live broadcast every weeknight,
10 till 1 a.m. across the country in Australia.
Great show.
And Harry Potter does appear, on our show.
Yeah.
Well, we had my dad on the show a few weeks ago because
Harry Potter?
He read
Harry Potter
is on the show.
I can see how you thought that.
We did interview the guy who plays Harry Potter.
My dad read Harry Potter for the first time last week, like a few weeks ago.
Cool.
So we got him on as an older man to get his interpretation of it.
Yeah.
And he was loving it.
Awesome.
He was loving it.
Great. And did you say you interviewed Daniel Radcliffe at one point?
No.
Oh, not that guy who plays Harry Potter, the other guy.
The on-stage guy.
Cursed Child.
Great show, Tom and Ollie. Perfect when you're driving home late. Like, check it out. It's really fun. More. And I really appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Mike. I want to come back and read more.
Awesome. I'd love to have you guys back.
Do you have any chick lit or
what's chick lit?
Or literature, like sort of just more adult sexual.
Oh, is this?
yeah, of your own other stuff.
I don't.
Mostly children's stuff.
Clitrature?
Clitrature.
Is that a real term?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
you know, female targeted usually, but
you'd assume so.
Yeah. So you don't. Okay, that's cool.
I don't have any clitrature.
Because I think you should. Having read this, I think you should be writing some clitrature.
I'd like to see the behind the scenes of Mr. Charger getting changed. Yeah. Or, you know, oh, there's a romance going on here.
Hermione's memories.
Of that divorce.
thank you guys for listening. Catch you later, Goblets of Fire.
Ciao.